interesting story this week I saw. Portland Area School District canceled Tuesday and Wednesday classes as staffers worked to fix a ransomware attack that may have affected the district's technology systems. There have been at least 21 ransomware attacks in the U.S. education sector this year, said Brett Callow, a threat analyst for the anti-malware company Emisoft. Attacks have disrupted 550 schools. What exactly is a ransomware attack, and why in the world would people be going after schools? You know, we get this stuff on our computers all the time. We have to avoid things all the time on our phones, things like that. But what does that mean, and what are they going after, and how would schools be affected, and how would that affect us if our kids' schools were affected? Joining us on the phone right now is Faisal Akawi. He is a faculty director of the Master of Science and Information Systems program at Northwestern University. Hi, Professor Akawi. How are you?
I am good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being on with us. We appreciate it. Can you explain to a low-level computer user like me what exactly a ransomware attack is?
Ransomware is a piece of software that hackers somehow manage to put it on your machine. There are so many kinds of ransomware. There is one kind of ransomware that attacks your data on your hard drive, and it's sort of encrypted where you cannot view it. Other ransomwares, they lock your entire hard drive on your device where you cannot access the entire hard drive. Other piece of software was famous in 2020 or 2018 to 2020 is a piece of ransomware where the hacker managed to put it on your machine and it opens your camera and they record you or whomever, your kids or whatever, and then they will use it to blackmail you. So there are so many kinds of them. And each particular ransomware tackle a specific component. Or a specific ransomware can go against the pictures on your hard drive and encrypt these pictures or your PDF files or specific files. Think of it as a menu where the hackers create these code to go after any piece of information on your device, whether it is software, whether it's data, or even hardware.
So in general, when we run into something, you know, we're getting phishing emails all the time. Sometimes you'll click on a website and suddenly something will pop up. There's all sorts of things that are trying to lure us into clicking on something. In general, if you are attacked by ransomware, the general person, are they just sort of mining our hard drive to see if like there's bank account numbers, social security numbers? Is that the basic way they're doing it? I know you said that there's some where they're, you know, getting your pictures and then trying to get you to pay a ransom. But for most people, is it just they're going through your hard drive to see what you've accidentally left open for somebody to see?
In a way, yes. See, hackers, they don't just sit and they tackle one machine at a time. Hackers have these Python script codes or JavaScript codes where they generate hundreds of millions of emails and they send them out through the world per hour. And they wait, we call that phishing emails, and they wait for someone to click back on something or someone to click on a link within that email. And once you do that, or even visit a website, just by visiting certain website without clicking on anything, just by opening a website when you Google something, a piece of software gets downloaded on your machine. And that piece of software could be a Trojan, it could be a worm, it could be a virus, it could be a malicious code of some sort. It starts counting your hard drive, looking for all that piece of information, and then it reports back to that hacker, wherever that hacker is sitting. Now, that hacker starts communicating with that piece of software. We call that a sort of a remote desktop. Once now they start talking to your machine, they start collecting data from your machine. And then they could use your machine to launch attack against anybody within your network. If you remember the Love virus, it's a particular virus that it attacks your machine. It opens your email, and it looks through your email contact, and it emails everybody on your behalf. So it is a little bit of everything, and these guys are mastering the subject of hacking.
So it might not be that they're getting something out of your computer. It could be that they're using your computer to go search through other computers.
Absolutely. We call that a sort of a denial of service attack or distributed denial of service attack, where they have hundreds of these machines, if not thousands of these machines, they are under their control. And if you have a kid at your house or if you browse the internet, most likely your computer is infected by this particular malicious code. And that, you know, the hacker could use hundreds of these machines to launch an attack against another person. The answer is to your question, yes, it is possible.
Okay, so what should we be doing if it's almost inevitable that if you're searching the internet, you're going to get some junk on your machine? Should we, what are the precautions we should take? Should we be using one of the services like Norton or whatever the other ones are that clean up the computers and run those things? Or should we be like not putting anything on the computer? If you're searching the web on that computer, should you make sure that you're not also logging into your mobile banking app? Should we not be saving anything that could be read by anybody? Like if we're filling out a W-9 to send into a job, should that not be saved on that computer? What can we do so that if they are going to, quote, inevitably get in there, what should we make sure we don't have there for them?
Well, you ask an excellent question, simply because you could do a simple measures that can prevent almost 90% of these attacks. So, for example, back up your data. So if someone gets in and lock up your data and ask you to pay some money, and by the way, 50% of the people who end up paying the ransomware, they do not get their data back. And we have many stories. And if you listen to the FBI director's recent talk, he said, never pay these ransomwares, because statistically shows that 50% of the people who pay never get their data back. So to prevent against such an attack, back up your data to the cloud. And the school system that initiated this conversation, you know, back up your data to the cloud. If you don't have enough support to do that, walk down your electronics shop and buy a 2-3 terabytes of a hard drive and back up your data locally. So if a hacker gets into your machine, lock up your data, you could just simply wipe your machine off and start from scratch. So backing up your data is number one defense. Number two, companies such as school systems, you know, one of the major problems in the school systems, it is public news that they don't have the financials to upgrade their entire security system. So every time there's a problem, what they end up doing, they end up buying a piece of hardware and utilize the newer technology and to patch the problem. The problem with that is when you buy a new state-of-the-art piece of hardware and you plug it in your old system, that new piece of hardware has to scale back to the older device in order to be backwards compatible, and it works. Think of it this way. You have a car, and you could drive down one lane street at 100 miles an hour, but you encounter an older car in front of you that's going at 20 miles an hour. So your 100 mile an hour car has to come down to the speed of the 20 mile per hour car in order to be to move traffic, because you cannot jump in the car in front of you. The same things applies when you patch technology. School systems, they tend to do that. So an easy fix also there is an investment in a firewall. A firewall, the vast majority of our attacks, especially the ransomware, comes from Russia and East Asia. A simple investment in a firewall, you could program your firewall to block all communications from any region in the world. So if I am a school system within the state of Illinois, I don't want to allow anybody to access my school, my network from outside the Illinois state. So that will cut back on their attacks. There is something else called intrusion detection system. It's a simple device that companies install on their network to sort of prevent these problems. An intrusion detection system, it understands your network, your behavior, your traffic, and if something out of the ordinary happens, it will inform you. Now, having said that, there are the multi-factor authentications. There is the updating your, even on a personal level, forget the school and the Fortune 500 companies, even on a personal level, simply updating your software on your hardware and your device will sort of eliminate the vast majority of these problems. 90% of the attacks can be eliminated simply.
Dr. Faisal Akawi is with Northwestern. Let's talk more about that in a second. Updating your software, what we can do at home. Okay, the school districts, all the Fortune 500 companies, put up firewalls, make sure nobody's getting in. Do we do that at home? What are the steps we should be taking at home so that we're not subjecting ourselves to this? Because it seems like more and more we hear Steve Burness from the Better Business Association on with Bob Surratt all the time, because there's always another scam. There's always another way people are trying to get you. So you almost have to operate from now from they're going to get us. How do we make it as minimal as possible and give up as little as possible so we don't then have days and weeks of trying to get out of this mess? We'll have more with Dr. Akawi next here on 720 WGN. We're speaking with Professor and Dr. Faisal Akawi. He is the Faculty Director of the Master of Science and Information Systems Program at Northwestern University, and he knows what's going on with this ransomware and everything else. So, Professor, you had talked about, you know, what the businesses can do and what school districts can do. But if I'm at home, you were saying as we went to the break, do the new download. So I have a Mac. And so I'm in a weird position. And a lot of people that are Mac owners are, because it used to be that those attacks were on Windows machines because they were 90% of the computers in the world. It seems like those things have gotten around to Macs now. But I just had a Mac fixed by a guy, just a guy, a year or two ago. And he said, hey, don't have that. Don't have a Norton or whatever on your system because it slows it down so bad and you're so unlikely to have something attack your system. Should we be having something like that on our system, or should we be just making sure there's nothing on our system that they could take and really get something out of?
Well, look, you could never have a secure system. So you are absolutely right. The only thing you could do is put few layers of security to prevent the vast majority of these problems. And here's my recommendation. Number one, back up your data, back up your picture, back up your important files to an external hard drive. Invest few bucks in an external hard drive, put your data onto it. Anything happened, you clean your machine and you put your data, because that's the most important thing, is your data and your files. So you have to have a backup on an external drive. That's number one. Number two, each machine allows you to do a restore point. So you go in and you, whether it's Mac or Windows, and you search how to create a restore point. Once you create restore point, your system will create an image of itself. Let's say you do that on a Sunday night. One day you find out that someone got in and asking you for money, or a hacker is trying to delete a file. You restore to that point, and it will put your machine, it will remove any malicious code that has been installed since Sunday. Keep in mind that some of these malicious software are so complicated today, now they could, even when they get in, they could clear out that restore point. But it's, again, it's one line of defense. So you have backup, you have restore your restore points, passwords. Also are extremely important, and your machines, a lot of people allow their home machines to be unprotected. They remove their password. That's one of the biggest mistakes. A machine that's not protected with a password, it is 50% of the battle for a hacker. You need a strong password, a password that is a phrase, that it is a long, that has a combination of letters. It's something very complicated. It has to be that way, and you cannot write it down. You cannot put it on your machine. You cannot use the same password for all your applications. So it has to be sort of a phrase. A next important thing that people can do is antivirus. Is one of the most important things is antivirus. Your antivirus, you have to have an antivirus. Yes, there is no free lunch in computer science. You always fix something, you end up breaking something else. By putting an antivirus, that slows the system. But the slowness that it does is not anywhere compared to the damage that it can happen without it. So between antivirus and no antivirus, I absolutely will choose an antivirus to be on my machine at all the time. Also, machines today, because they are so powerful, having an antivirus doesn't cause that much of a problem. The last advice, simple, that people can use, have two users. When you have one user account and you log in to your machine with one user account, you have an admin right over your machine. So if you browse on the internet or you click on a link that has malicious software, it will automatically install on your machine. But if you have two users, one has the right just to browse and do things. So even if you go in and you download a malicious software as that second user with the less rights, then you will end up not creating any damage. Even if you try to install something, the system will not allow you as user two. So having those a few tricks They could solve, and the update of the software, you have to run your updates weekly. Having all these things, the simple things, prevent almost 90% of the problems that can happen.
Professor, now, I only have a minute left, so let me ask you real quick. That's great. We can do all this to prevent it, but and get our system restored. Okay, but once they get in there, they're going to get this information. Assuming they're going to get in there, and then we're going to restore it or sort of protect, but they're going to get around at some point. What do you have on your computer? Do you make sure there are certain things that are not on your computer in case the inevitable happens?
Which is my file. The most important files, I have them on outside on my external drive. Okay. That's what they are after. They're after your data, the things that you want. Once they encrypt it, or they delete it, or they take a copy of it, that's when they got you, and that's when you have to pay, and then they get you in the loop, in the cycle, the psychology that you have to pay to get these important files back.
So real quick, the most important data on an external drive that I'm assuming you don't always keep plugged into your desktop or your laptop, because if they get into your laptop and that external is connected, they can get to that too, right?
Absolutely. That's why you have to back it up once a day or once a week, depends on how sensitive your data, and then you unplug it because you are absolutely correct. So if that happens and your external drive is connected, they could have access to it as well. That's why we recommend a cloud connection.
Right.
That would save you the hassle of
always backing up all the time. Professor Faisal Akawi from Northwestern University, thank you so much for being with us. By the way, if you're interested in this, they have a boot camp, a Chicago Cybersecurity Boot Camp, where you could learn more. And you got to imagine there's a lot of jobs in this area. Bootcamp.northwestern.edu. Thank you so much for being with us.